Good morning.
Good morning.
By God's help, we're going to talk about fruit trees. Y'all like fruit? What's your favorite fruit, Sister Cheryl?
A ripe peach in the summertime.
Ripe peach in the summertime. Anybody like bananas? Well, let's ask the Lord to bless us. Our Father, Father of blessings, we're asking you for help today. Please give anointing and please give blessings to each one that is here. Lord, you've said in your word to weep with those that weep, and there are those, if they're not crying visibly, perhaps they are inside. But Lord, we ask you that you will give comfort to these dear ones who've lost someone dear to them. And you'll be with them all the way. Now bless us here in this service at this time. And we ask it, you'll bless Brother Doug in a special way, Lord, as he's ministering in the congregation where Sister Marilyn attended for years, giving special strength, courage, and blessings for that grieving congregation. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We have a description in the Word of God of two trees, fruit trees. And it describes where they were located. And the first tree we're going to read about is in Luke 13. And we'll begin at the sixth verse. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now this tree was in this vineyard for the purpose of yielding fruit. And as the owner didn't plant it for shade or beauty, but he planted it to produce fruit. And at the time when the fruit would to be there, he would come looking for it. It was, and he come 1 year and looking, and there was zero. No fruit. Disappointed. Come back the next year, looking for fruit. Again. Zero. No fruit. The disappointment perhaps was greater. But coming back the next year, and still it was zero. No fruit. This time, he had something to say to the dresser. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? This is an unusual thing. I've been in California and passed by many grape vineyards, have had the opportunity to go into grape vineyards and take and help myself. Sister Ruth and Lawrence Taylor are grape growers. And they just opened it up that I could go and get all I wanted. Never have I seen a tree planted in a vineyard in all the times I've been around them, grape vineyards. But this one was. It was located in a vineyard, and they have vines and grapes. And so this tree was occupying space, and it was, if it had leaves, it was shielding the grapes perhaps that were trying to mature. And it depleted soil, taking some of the nutrients. So the owner said, cut it down. It's not serving its purpose. It's just there and not productive. So cut it down. He wanted fruit. This has a deeper meaning than just a tree that fails. It can describes the condition of a soul that God has dealt with or looked for something in their life and been disappointed and not found it. So the dresser said, let me have one more year. And let me dig around it. And let me take special effort to see if something can stimulate fruit on this tree. You know, God can dig around souls in an effort to get them to produce fruit, even meat for repentance. He can dig around souls and send circumstances in people's lives that will cause them to think about their soul. So this dresser was willing to put out extra effort to see if there could be any growth of fruit. There are people today that, could you say, are in the fourth degree of mercy, that they have lacked having the type of fruit that God is looking for. And they're barren, no fruit. Well, the second fruit tree is a different story, and it is found in the first Psalm, Psalms 1. It describes like a tree, but it is an individual that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is Psalms 1:1. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So this individual that is likened unto a tree, he don't take the counsel of the ungodly, and he don't stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But he has a positive mindset. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate occasionally. Is that what it says? What does it say? He meditates in it day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Quite an opposite of the fig tree, the description here. Of this individual that is spiritually minded, and he is very fruitful. He's just got loaded. Fruit, more fruit. And he is like a person that's drawing resources, and his resource is likened to the rivers. He's like, and his roots go, you may not be able to, all of you see this, but his roots go down deep, and they reach the water. And these roots are strong roots. If they're by a river in Oklahoma, the wind maybe has whipped this tree around and got some real strong roots. The roots of this tree is so strong, and it feeds up into the tree and into the branches, and there's fruit. Lots of fruit. And the leaves on the tree, they stay, well, imagine the leaves there. They stay green all the time. In Florida, you can go and find green leaves in January. But these leaves on this tree stay green all the time. And whatever they do is prosperous. Now, in the fifth chapter of Galatians, it tells what the fruit of the Spirit is. What good fruit? Galatians 5. If you get it before me, well, you can read it. 5 and 20, maybe it is. 22. Read it for us. Now, the fruit of love. This tree has the fruit of love. It isn't oranges or apples, it's love. And it bears the fruit in its season. The season for love is, well, Brother Marty told of an incident of a woman that somebody purposely threw acid in her face. Of course, acid is a very powerful substance, and it had effect on this woman. She probably was marked for life. In some way, this person was apprehended that did this to her. Don't know what country this was in, but they brought this individual before this woman, and they give her some acid for revenge to put on this man. She, I don't know if she knew him or he just picked her at random to do this evil act, or if it was someone that wanted revenge for her some kind of way. But the woman refused to do to the man what he did to her. That was the season for love. And she had it. The next one, brother, what is it? Is it joy?
Joy.
I thought Paul and Silas, they were doing very good things, and they had did something that riled up the people, and they beat him, and they were put in prison. They were restricted to one spot in prison. Their feet was fastened. And there they were. Fastened. Their backs probably bleeding and hurting. I don't know what they were doing at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or 11, or but at 12. They were singing and praying. And it touched the heart of God. And I've been in some powerful earthquakes, high magnitude. But God sent a strong enough earthquake that it unlocked the doors of the prison, and the stocks fell off of their feet, and they were free men to escape. That was the season for having joy. Being beat. Being imprisoned. And I don't think that the one in charge had bathed their backs or tried to soothe it with some oil, or they were left in there to suffer. But instead of complaining, they were singing and praising God. Now that was the season to have joy. And they had it. They were connected with the source that was producing the fruit of joy in that very dismal prison and in the circumstances where they were. They didn't know. Their singing and praying was going to touch God to the point that he was going to send a powerful earthquake and free them. But that, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That joy, and that they weren't complaining and whining, why did this happen to me? We were doing good. And here we're beaten, put in this prison, and our feet are fastened. We are restricted in movement, but they had a joy that was so real that they were singing and praising God. That is outstanding. That was the season to have joy, and they had it. May God help us. We will have the joy of the Lord and produce it out of our life. The next one is peace, is it?
Yeah.
Peace. It's one of the best things in life, to have peace. To be able to have a peace before you go to sleep at night. It's just, there's nothing equal to it. Well, there's love is above it, and I say there's nothing equal to it. The way that men get it, by drinking or doping or tranquilizers, and they can't equal this kind of peace. And Elvis Presley was a very famous individual. Women swooned at his singing and his actions, but he said, I'd give $1 million for 1 week of peace. He didn't have peace. Sometimes the season for peace would maybe be to go on a job interview. Sister Sarah Heron testified last Wednesday night in prayer meeting about a job interview she went on. And of course she wanted to have peace. She didn't say it like that. But she didn't want to laugh while she was at the interview. She didn't want to laugh. Because probably she thought that wouldn't make a very good impression on who was interviewing her if she laughed. But at any rate, there's a season to have peace, and as far as I know, she didn't laugh, and she got the job. So the season for peace could be at the time of death. That's when I really want it, folks. When I'm looking towards death, when I'm coming down to those final moments, when my life is evaporating, I want peace then. I want it every day. I want it in the battles of life. I want it peace even while I'm up ministering. But I really, really, really want it when I'm coming down to the end. Let me read what somebody said about their coming down to the end, if I can find it. I don't know these people. It's titled, this article is Dying Words. And this individual said, "Can this be death? Why, it is better than living. Tell them I die happy in Jesus." Does that sound like a person that has peace when they're coming down to those last moments of life? Here's another one. "I am in perfect peace, resting alone on the blood of Christ. I find this amply sufficient with which to enter the presence of God." Oh, this is another one. "Oh, that I could tell you what joy I possess. I am full of rapture. The Lord does shine with such power upon my soul. He's come, he has come, he has come." And it has some of the opposite too. "I would give worlds if I had them. If the age of reason had never been published. Oh Lord, help me, Christ. Christ, help me. Stay with me. It is hell to be left alone." And so it is going to be very important for us to have peace in life and peace in death. Peace in death is really going to be the season for peace. What was the next one?
Long suffering.
Job had that, didn't he? And right in our midst today, we have one. I had the privilege to talk to Sister Wall here some time ago, and I found out that her affliction had been off and on for 13 years. That's a long time to suffer, isn't it? May God bless. John Bunyan, I think it was maybe 13 years that he was imprisoned because he was a preacher and he didn't have license to preach, and they put him in prison. And every year, I think they give him an opportunity. If we release you, will you not preach? And every year, when the time came, although he was in conditions there was mice, and his wife didn't have a provider for her. He had a blind daughter. These things weighed on his mind. But these 13 years, I think it was, that he was in prison because he would have preached the gospel if they would have released him. And every time the time come for him to appear and to answer, if you're released, will you preach? God give him the ability to stand firm. Long suffering he was. But in the circumstances of that suffering, and in the quarantine of that prison, he was able to write a book, Pilgrim's Progress. But he had long suffering. That was the season for it when he was imprisoned. 13 years. Life on the outside was put on hold. He wasn't able to be with his family. Blind daughter. His wife probably suffering financially. Deprivations of things. But he suffered long. And in that suffering and in the circumstances, it was very unpleasant. He was able to write the book, Pilgrim's Progress. So God blessed him, even in the circumstances, to be able to have long suffering and stay there and be true to God. Wonderful. Wonderful fruit. What do we have next?
Gentleness.
Is there a fruit short of gentleness? You know, weather conditions can affect fruit crops till there's a shortage in different fruits. If they have freezes in California of orange, and the orange juice is frozen on the tree, and in Florida, if it gets bad enough, it freezes, there can be a fruit shortage of oranges. There's a fruit shortage of gentleness. Last Tuesday, the Golden Rule Home had a memorial for Brother Wilbur Heisen. He was 101. If he had lived December 16th, he'd been 102. We gathered in the living room there. Workers, Sister Maxine and Brother Lauren was there, Sister Sarah, others from the apartments. And people were given an opportunity to speak about the life they had seen this brother live. People spoke from their heart. Different ones of them did. I don't know if everyone did speak from their heart, but some of them were so touched by Brother Bud's life that they were crying. The workers, they saw in him the fruit of goodness, kindness. He was a real gentleman. I don't know if they observed that, but he was a real gentleman, considerate, kind, and people expressed. And Sister Maxine said that people do preach their own funeral. And the social lady talked like, all different ones said, that he had said different things to him. And this worker talked like that she didn't even want to go to his room. She was just really affected. And he had really touched lives. He wasn't a man of a lot of words. He didn't say a lot of things. He was a quiet man. But he was a gentleman. And this old world would be a lot better off if there was a lot more gentlemen and women. What do we have next?
Goodness.
Oh, he was good too. He was helpful. He was a man that would go out and pick up trash, and people would discard their cigarettes, and he'd pick that up and sweep the sidewalks and sweep. What else did he do, Gene? He won the admiration of the workers, of the apartment people, those who remember him at church, and so he had that fruit that he displayed in its season. Daily he would get out and he was just outstanding, and people recognized the good things in Brother Bud. Now what do we have?
Faith.
Ooh, we need that every day, don't we? That needs to be in seasoned every day. And the Christian life is really a life of faith. I've never seen Jesus or the Father. Brother Leslie told in a message, he said, talk like God was more real to him than his wife. Now that's a statement that is very, he just felt that way, that God was more real to him than his wife. Faith, he couldn't see God, feel him, but his relationship with him was so real. His faith took in God and his power and his reality, faith. And surely it is needed. We need faith. And one songwriter said, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. I know the Lord ruleth over everything, and all of my worries are vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting confiding in his great love, from all sin, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evil betide. Why should I? Why should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Sister Faith Stewart wrote of a time she was a missionary in Havana, Cuba, and they're having water shortage in India, also I think Africa. And they were desperate. They didn't have water for laundry, cleaning, cooking. The water that they had before, it got muddy. And they had the government come out and test the ground. They went down, I don't know how deep in the ground, and there was no water. Well, they had been praying. But when they found out this report, no water in the ground, they got desperate. And they went into prayer, earnest prayer. And after a while, they heard a voice, water, clean water. And the Lord put water in the ground without any rain. You believe that? Faith. They had it. And that was the season for faith. They had faith in God. And God put water in the ground. And they had water. And I think maybe they even helped others, or at least some, one, maybe more, that didn't have water. Faith in God. That was the season for it. And we have... Do you have seasons in your life when you need faith?
Amen.
Yeah. So may God help us to have that faith in the season. There's one more, isn't there? Two more.
Meekness.
Oh, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he had this fruit of meekness. When he described himself, he said, "I am meek and lowly. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly." He was meek enough to let adult people spit in his face. Meek enough to let take a whip with something that would cut into his flesh. Take that. Take the cries of "Crucify him, crucify him." Surely he had the fruit of meekness, and God blessed him in the seasons when he needed it. The last one is temperance. Do you think everybody that's going to eat at Golden Corral today will be temperate? You ever seen the plates of the people that eat there? Do you think everybody has those little pieces of plastic and it says Visa and MasterCard or whatever are going to be temperate with their credit cards today? Probably not. But there's a time to be temperate and to have control. May God bless us. This second tree was strong, healthy, productive. And God wants his people to be healthy and productive. In St. John, it says 16th verse, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, that ye shall go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." You know, birds like fruit. If you got an apricot tree, you might need to put something up there to scare the birds off, because they can come and peck on that fruit. And it affects the fruit. People have allowed the fruit of love to ebb out. But you see people make a start. And if I was to sit down and count the people that have made a start, in some way their fruit didn't remain. But God wants to bring forth fruit, and that fruit will remain and be there in its season. May God bless these thoughts to your heart today. Thank you for listening, and may God bless. Our Father, Thank you for your wonderful fruit. May it be so, Lord, that our lives will be fruitful. And even though we're old, said that we would bear fruit in our old age. We've been around those in homes where not everybody that's old has these fruits in their life. Help us to have it. Bless these young people that they will use the resources of prayer and reading and meditating to draw from the source of resources daily, that they might be able to capably bear good fruit. Bless us all at all ages here this day to be fruitful for you and have the love of God in our hearts. We ask these blessings, dear Lord, in your name. Amen.